Okay, let's continue in Pirkei Avos. We started last week for the smaller group. We started with, we're going to do Perek Dalet of Pirkei Avos for the time that we have together, just because, I don't know, I decided Perek Dalet is a good place to start. So let's go on to Mishnah Gimel. All of us, certainly, hopefully everybody understands that every edition of Pirkei Avos has like different like numbering, so like you might, someone say like Pirkei Avos like Perek Dal Mishnah Vav, you open up your Pirkei Avos, it says like Mishnah Yud Ches, like it's all over the place. There's no standardization of how to break up Pirkei Avos, so it's a bit confusing. But at least in the one that I opened up yesterday, it was Mishnah Gimel. So let's see it's what it says. You have the Magen Avos in front of you, right? So the Magen Avos is Rosh Shlomo Kluger. We'll talk about him in a moment. Let's just read what the Mishnah says. Hu Aya Omer. Al tihi vaz l'chol adam, v'al tihi maflig l'chol davar, she'en l'cha adam she'en lo shav, v'en l'cha davar she'en lo makom. A person should not be mevazah, should not disgrace, not look down upon any person or anything, because there's no thing or person that won't have a time for them to shine. There's always a place for them in the world. There's nothing that should go to waste. That's the pashup shot, the simple reading of the Mishnah. Rosh Shlomo Kluger, who's one of the great Gaonim, really, really outstanding genius who lived in the 1700s, 1800s in Europe. He wrote a huge amount of Torah. We are actually still printing manuscripts from him because he wrote so much. They are still in the 1700s, 1800s. He has on all the parshos in the Torah a thick sefer, like 300, 400 pages on each parsha. Not on each book, on each parsha. Hundreds and hundreds of Divrei Torah that they're still putting out. And Shuvas, he wrote a mind-boggling amount. But he has a parish in Pirkei Avos. Let's see what he says over here. He says, Hinei kol ha-mefarshim hevinu, mash amar alti vaz l'chol adam. He says, all of the mefarshim seem to understand what it means. Alti vaz l'chol adam. Don't disgrace any person. Hakavana sh'al tivaze acherim. Don't disgrace other people. Aval, however, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, Imkein have lomar, al tihi mevazeh l'chol adam. Then it should have said, don't be mevazeh, don't actively disgrace other people. That's not what it says. What it says is, al tihi vaz, do not be disgraced. Ach nir hakavana da'anava have mitzvah gedolu mitzvah slios anav. He says, I get it to be humble, it's a great thing, you should be very humble, a lot of humility, and don't be so full of yourself. I agree. Ach, however, Mikol makom, tsarich listakel lifnei mili yosanav. But you have to understand where and how, in front of who, you're going to be humble. Shehari amru chazal, the Gemara in Megillah says, kol talmid chacham hamaktim lekoin am haaretz levarech lefanav derech choku mishpat kahuna chayv misa. He says that any talmid chacham who allows a kohen, who's an am haaretz, a fool, a not smart kohen, to be the one to bench instead of him, so that Tam Chacham is Chayiv Misa. Now, that's a bit intense, I agree. And it's not the halacha, but it shows you that a person needs to understand, who are you being humble in front of? A person has to have a sense of dignity, a sense of self-respect. And wherever that sense of self-respect takes you and leads you, you need to maintain it. You should not be disgraced in front of other people. Have a bit of self-esteem, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. His understanding of Al tihi vaz l'chol adam. Don't debase and disgrace yourself in front of other people. Ein rishai ha-tam ha-chacham levazos es-atzmo rak lefnei tam ha-chacham. A tam ha-chacham should do things that might be a lack of cover in front of other tamid ha-chachamim. Lia dehavi pachos mimenu. Aval lefnei am ha-aretz mamash asu levazos es-atzmo. It's us to do such a thing. It's not appropriate for Moshe Feinstein to go and polish your shoes for you. Like, that's not okay. He's a begun of, and correct, and all those things. But it's not becoveting. It's not as a lack of kavod, but it's disgraceful. It's demeaning to the Torah that he represents. And a person should not act in a disgraced and debased way. V'zeu sh'amar afshe atah rishay levazos es atzmecha. And therefore it says, yes, there are times when a person needs to lower themselves and to not act with such sense of kavod. Mikol makom, alti vaz l'chol adam. But you gotta know the situation, you gotta read the room. You got to know how to act in front of who. Sometimes you have to do things that are embarrassing in front of people where it's worthy to do embarrassing things in front of them because that's what's demanded. Okay? But it's most of the times it's not. And you have to have a sense of self-respect and not to be mavazu oneself in front of other people. We're clear over here? Now, Shlomo Kluger goes on to say, this is a longer piece. He goes on to explain, this is, in fact, the machlokus between Michal and David. When the Aaron was brought back to the Jewish people, so David went and he danced in front of the Aaron. We're familiar with the story? And Michal Bashal said to him, you know, it's beneath the kavod, like dancing in front of the women and the children, and like, you know, you're like making a fool of yourself, like it's wrong. So Shlomo Kluger explains that both David and Michal agreed that you shouldn't be mevazir yourself. They agreed to this principle. The machlokus was, because you do it in front of Hashem. Michal said, you're the king. In front of nobody should be mocha in your kavod. No one. And David said, but I can be mocha my kavod in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that was the point of the machlokus. But they agreed to the point that one needs to make sure not to disgrace themselves and not to defame themselves in front of other people. This is, in fact, Paskin l'halacha. Look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav is the work of the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shmuel Zalman of Liadi. He writes in Hilchos Nizki Aguf, the laws of damages. Asur l'hakos es chavero. It's asur to hit your friend, that we agree to. Afilu hu nosan lo rishus. Even if he gives you permission, l'hakoso. Even if he says, come on, let's see if you can, how hard you can punch me. Right in the face. Come on, I give you permission. So the Baal HaTanya says it's asur to do that. Which means, by the way, that means boxing is 100% usr. And all those things are usr. Because even if you give a person permission to hit you, you're not allowed to. It's usr to allow somebody to perform a violent act on you. Ke'en adam reshus al gufo klal. You don't have permission over your body. This is a yisod that is discussed by the Radmaz and his parish on the Rambam, that your body is on loan from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have permission to do whatever you want to it. Your body is here in order to hold your neshama, so you can do what you have to do in this world. And then after it's done, it goes back into the ground, and that's the end of that. But you don't have permission to do what you want with your body. Lakos velo levaisho. And you also don't have permission to allow your friend to embarrass you. You don't have permission to allow your friend to do something that would embarrass you and be mevaisho. Velo letzara, or to pain, cause pain, b'shum tzara, filu b'minias eiza maichel mishta, in any way. And therefore, sometimes, certainly, hopefully not in our community, but sometimes, you know, you have someone take a video of something embarrassing and say, oh, well, it'll be a viral video, so we'll send it around. You don't have permission to do that to yourself. If somebody takes a video of you doing something embarrassing and then to go send it around, it's going to be mavazu, it would make you look, you know, a lack of sense of color in front of other people. You don't have permission to do that. Oh, but it'll be funny. Oh, it'll be a meme. Oh, it'll get a lot of likes. So what? You have a sense of color. You have a sense of self-respect. You don't have permission to go and to do things that will be embarrassing yourself in front of other people. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in this week's Parsha. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You know how if you get embarrassed by someone, you're able to like give a bracha?
Yeah.
You call for a bracha? So let's say you ask someone, like, can you embarrass me at that event so that I can give that, like, this person I'm with the bracha?
No, you can't do that. No. It has to be...
I'm trying to find a loophole.
It has to be a natural occurrence where... happens. You can't like set up something that's at the Koach HaBracha. You can't do that. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in this week's Farsha. Rav Moshe is Darash Moshe. The pasuk says, Kol Isha Sher Bo Mum Lo Yikrav. A Kohen who has a mum, a physical blemish, is not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So some people find this offensive. You know, it's not right. A person has a disability. How can you say he can't serve the Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Moshe gives three explanations why that's the case. I only care about the last one. Rav Moshe writes, V'gam yish b'ze'od inyan gadol. He says there's a purpose here why the Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash cannot be somebody who has a mum, a physical blemish. Da'afte gaiva hu davar mesu'av l'fnei Hashem Zbarach. Rav says, Rav Moshe, I get it. Gaiva and haughtiness, it's very bad. Hashem hates it. I agree. Gaiva is terrible. 100%. Ein ratzon Hashem shis bazeh ha'adam. But Hashem also does not want that people should be mevaza. People should be looked down upon. Va'adarab, chazina de mevaza asmo pasul rabban le'edus. One who knowingly goes and consistently is mevaz himself is pasul le'edus, cannot be a witness. Kedeisa besof parak alf to kedushin ba'ochel b'shuk ayin perish Rashi says that maybe lahaser busha v'abushu davar galu yiras Hashem. Rashi explains a person doesn't have busha, who doesn't have a sense of busha, a sense of embarrassment, lacks yiras Hashem, lacks yiras Shemayim. If you have somebody, you have a friend, you'll dare them to do anything and they'll do it, and they'll just go and do it. They'll make themselves foolish in public and they'll embarrass themselves for a laugh and things like that. It's not cool and it's not funny. It's a lack of yiras Hashem, says Ramosha. Someone who will go and do anything just for a laugh, even though they'll embarrass themselves or make themselves look like a fool or get attention in public, that's not nice. That's not humility. That's a lack of self-respect, of knowing what they represent. And again, amongst the Gaim, there are people who think that humility is a good thing. They think it's a proper to embarrass themselves. And we talk about all failures and all the terrible things I did, that shows their humility. They even have avodah zarah where they do disgusting things in front of them. They're mavaz of the avodah zarah because they think that's a sign of humility. But that's not a Jewish value, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Lo kein derech haTorah. She'af she'to'eves Hashem kol gava lev. Hashem hates any bit of haughtiness. Asa levas asa. You can't do things that are mevazu oneself. Things that people look down on them. She'ein ze inyan av. That's not humility. And Rav Moshe's concern is that the Kohen, serving the Beis HaMikdash, will be looked down upon in that public sphere, and people will not be sensitive to whatever the moment is, and therefore he doesn't want the Kohen in that particular position. And therefore, we need to be aware about not speaking badly about ourselves and not putting ourselves down and self-deprecating humor and talking about all of our things that we did wrong and how people say, oh, I'm so dumb, I can't believe I did that, I don't do anything right, I'm such a klutz. You can't be mavaz yourself. You're telling Melokim. The way you speak about yourself, you have to be very, very careful. And also, you have to understand that when you do that, it also makes people uncomfortable, right? I think we've all perhaps been in situations where you have somebody who's just really beating up on themselves. It's not a pleasure to be around them. It's very uncomfortable. And you don't want to hang out with those people. And we have to be careful about how we talk about ourselves in those situations. And it certainly doesn't help. I'm not saying we need to protect our image. That's not what I'm saying. A person has to tell the truth about themselves and be honest when it's appropriate. But we also live in a culture where it's very popular to talk about all of our failings and every single time we mess up, every single time we did the wrong thing. And there's a place to be honest when it's necessary. Someone comes to you and says, I'm having a tough day, I really messed up here. And you want to share with them where you also messed up there and give them chizik and how you came out of it. That's great. It's a lovely thing to do. But to constantly go around and talk about how I stink at this, I fail at this, and I'm bad at this, it's not going to make anybody like you, and it's not going to make you like yourself. It's not going to help to mavaz yourself over and over again. What's the benefit of beating down on yourself over and over again when you have so much to offer and you have so much good? So we have to strike a balance between not lying about ourselves and not painting a dishonest picture about ourselves and not whitewashing everything about us as glorious and that our vacation is always amazing and our food is always fantastic and everything is always wonderful. Everybody knows that's not the case. I'm not saying to, when it comes to, posting on social media and being only kind of painting a picture that's not there. But we are saying is there needs to be a balance between not, making yourself look bad and ruining your image in the eyes of other people and also being honest at the same time. Yeah.
So I know it's not the same thing, but how does that explain those tzaddikim who would self-inflict themselves?
That is not the avoda of this generation. That was a time and a place, perhaps when those things were done in the right circumstances, but it's not done nowadays. It's not going to work.
What Ramosha Feinstein sees about it's a kind of idea there's not coding for your own body.
It's true. I mean, I'm not Ramosha Feinstein's secretary, so I cannot say for sure what he would say, but he would say that this is lo zu haderech. This is not, a person needs to do it. Also, self-afflicting doesn't mean everybody has to know about it. Meaning, whatever a person does in the privacy of their own home, goes on to, hey, have a great time. But, the way to publicize it, talk about it, things like that, there's a time and a place. Yeah.
That's what Shira was saying about that you have the power to give bracha if you're embarrassed. So why are we giving them a reward if you shouldn't be?
We're not not somebody who embarrasses themselves. The Gemara's statement is if somebody comes and is mevazayu berabim, then you have the koach ha-ra if you don't respond. That's the case. I was in Teaneck, and I was in a pizza store in Teaneck, and it was on a Sunday. It was very busy, and there was a young man, maybe in high school, college. He was working behind the counter, and he was trying to help with the money and giving out the pizza. And there was a lot going on in the store, and he was handling. This is obviously pre-COVID. It was way, way before COVID. He was handling the money, and he was also, giving out pizza. So in front of the whole store, a woman, a mother, came over to him and started berating him. It's disgusting. You're touching the money and the pizza. How could you do such a put on gloves? What's wrong with you? You're serving food here in front of the whole store. And obviously got uncomfortably quiet in the pizza store. It was not such a big pizza store. And the guy didn't say a word. He just said, "I'm sorry." And he didn't respond in kind. Now, what he could have said is, "Are you out of your mind? You're eating in a pizza store. It's not a hospital. Like, your biggest concern is that, like, I'm touching the money to touch your pizza. Like, there's a lot less healthy things going on here besides me touching the $20 bill that also touched your pizza." And it was totally uncalled for this lady to do that in such a way. But he didn't say a word. And then afterwards, people went over to him quietly and asked for a bracha. Because he didn't say anything. I saw a number of people go over and ask him for a bracha because he didn't say anything and he held his tongue. That's the Gemara. That's what Chazal is talking about. But not the guy's like carrying soup and he trips and and therefore you ask him for a bracha. That's not what we're talking about. We mean in a case where somebody is attacked and they hold their tongue and they don't respond. Okay? Let's look at a Gemara Msachim. And Daf Kuf Yud Chesam and Aleph. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, this is the English translation, "When a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam, 'Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field.'" Right? Adam said, Hashem said, you're going to eat from the whatever grows from the ground. So his eyes streamed with tears. Adam HaRishon began to cry. Adam said before him, "Ribono Sha'olam, will my donkey and I eat from one trough? I'm going to be like a donkey. The donkey goes and eats from like the grass in the ground. I also have to eat from the grass and the ground." So after Hashem said to him, "In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread." So then his mind was settled, assured that if he toils, he'll be able to eat bread, unlike the donkey. Okay? That's the Gemara. Okay? So Rav Henoch Leibowitz was the Rosh Yeshiva in Chavetz Chaim in Queens. So he has beautiful, beautiful pieces on the Torah called Chedushei Lev. So he writes there in Brachos, and he says that there's actually a machlokas in the Gemara about what was better. Was it better for Adam to have taken the free food and just walk around picking food everywhere and eating off the ground like a donkey or a cow and just grazing wherever he finds food? Or is it better to struggle with sweat and tears and to make a parnasa? So Rav Henoch Leibowitz explains that the machlokas here is what's more important, self-respect or easier living so we can learn Torah, right? On one hand, Adam had the ability simply to walk around and, graze like a cow, right? Just take whatever they want and take food off the ground and pluck apples from trees and that would have been it, and that would have been sufficient. And, know what? Could learn all day, all his parnassus is right there, doesn't have to work so hard, everything he needs, and he could learn Torah. On the other hand, though, he'd be eating like a cow. Right? When people tell you don't chew gum, you look like a cow. So that would be the same thing here, right? He's disgusting. He's eating the same like a donkey and a cat. Like, it's gross. But he's also has to work hard to make his food because it's not being provided in the same way like an animal. So says Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Baram, Midivri Razal Masha She'ikrit Tzaro Shel Adam Hayat Mepnei Shlo Ratza Le'achol Ba'avos Echad Im Chamaro. Adam was upset because he did not want to eat like his donkey. Because it's a lack of kavod ha'adam to eat in such a way. So he began to bawl. He didn't want to lessen his kavod in any way. Af im yalatz litzteir l'dog l'tzarche achayim v'lo yuchal lilmo Torah mitoch menuchas hanefesh. And he said, you know what? I'm even going to give up a cushy life of being able to learn Torah, but not to eat like an animal. If it's going to lessen my sense of self-esteem. Why? Shaharamas kvodo shaadam yichol l'shamesh betur ma'orer u'ma'odeid ha'ikari ha'mevidas adam l'shlemus. Because a sense of kavod and a sense of self-respect is what powers us to shlemus, to become better and to improve ourselves. U'kedivrei Rabbeinu Yonah b'rei shefer shar avoda. As Rabbeinu Yonah says, ha'pesach harishon hu, the first point is, she'eda ish erech atzma, a person needs to have a sense of value. V'yakir ma'alasam, to know what you have to offer. U'ma'alas avosam gedulasam v'chashivusam v'chibasam itzal bar yisrach. And how much what you have to offer is so beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem is so proud of you and what you can bring to the world. And the sense of respect you should have. V'yitzalanu mizek ki kashir yisaveh ta'iv v'yalu b'lavav l'asos davar she'en hagun. And therefore, whenever you have the thought, maybe to do something that I'm not supposed to be doing, you'll be embarrassed about yourself. I'm beloved by Hashem. I have a sense of kavod, a sense of self-respect. How could I act, speak, look, eat such a thing if it's not appropriate? Says Adam Rishon, I will work hard, sweat to make a parnasa as long as I have a sense of self-esteem. Even if it's going to give up on learning more Torah, if I'm going to have to eat like an animal and lose my sense of kavod. It's easier sometimes to have the following argument. I'm going to compromise on my values, my tznius, my sense of self, for the sake of shalom, right? I'm going to, if I dress this way, well then it'll be better for people, they won't look at me so much, it'll make my friends happy with me. If I sacrifice in my sense of covenant, my sense of tznius, my sense of self-esteem, so then it'll be better for shalom, and it'll be better for shalom bias, and things will be much better. So I'm going to compromise there. That you have all the arguments in the world. I'll be able to learn more Torah if I just eat out of a trough like a donkey. I'll learn more Torah. But what about your sense of kavod? What are you giving up when you do that? And what about that sense of self-respect? And that's the point that Rav Hanachlibowitz is trying to make. The sense of kavod atzma, of al tivazes atzma l'chaladim, don't be mevazi yourself in people, is so strong that even if you have all of the cheshbonos and the calculations in the world, that maybe I'll get other benefits, you need to be very, very careful about what you're giving up with your sense of self-respect, your sense of kavod. Okay? Let's look at the last piece. The last piece is from the Nesiva Shalom, the Slatim HaRebbe, but not in the Nesiva Shalom that you may have for yourselves. It is in his Kuntros B'Chachma Yivne Bais. It's a kuntros he wrote about Shalom Bais for Chassanim, for husbands. Now, this is not relevant to anybody here, except me. But in the introduction, he has a piece that's relevant to everybody. Let's read what he says. He says, "V'ilu haya le'ish Yisrael sahakara hanachona." If a person had a good understanding, b'mahusel she Yehudi, of what it means to be a Jew, lo yamasuga la'olam lechtol lefgam b'malaso, you would never sin or damage your sense of place. U'kma'amar maran hasaba kadishim l'islanim, as I said, in the name of my Zaydi, the first Rebbe of Slanim. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Musar Hashem bini al temas. Now what it literally means is that Musar of Hashem, the Musar of Hashem, my son, don't disgrace, don't reject the Musar of Hashem. Right? That's the literal meaning of the Pasuk. Says the Slatim HaRebbe, Ha Musar shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yehudi hu bini. Read the Pasuk again. Musar Hashem. What's the Musar of Hashem? Bini! You're my son. That's the Musar of Hashem. You're my child. Al temas. You won't mess up. Hare ata ben melech. You are a prince. Al temas. Al temas is atzmacha bedvarim she'enam halamas es ben melech. Don't do things that a prince or a princess would not do. She'en ze matim leben melech lamas es atzmo. It's not appropriate to be mevazi yourself, to disgrace yourself. You are a bas melech. You are a ben melech. That's the greatest Musar. See how he reads that pasuk? What a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. The greatest musar is bini. You're my son, you're my child, says Hashem. Kilo ben hamelech ish hanhagas chayim miyuchadas. A prince acts in a certain way. Gam bedvarim ke'ilu asher la'adam pashal mutal asosan l'gabav ha'rezin nechshav kechait. Things that the layman might do, the prince would never do. It would be a terrible thing. It would not be appropriate. He acts a certain way, he talks a certain way, he dresses a certain way. He's a ben melech. Musra Hashem eno musra shal on shem gehenim v'chetz v'zav. The musra of Hashem is not gehenim and burning fires. Ela b'ni ata, that's the greatest musra. You're my child. Harei hanach b'ni, ben melech, al tamas, don't do disgusting things. Zewa musra hanokev k'yosu shemoneas Yehudi melechto. This is the musra that will prevent us from misstepping. Sheyeda mahu Yehudi umahu alul hafsid. To know what a Jew is, to know what you'll be losing out when you slip. Shal yimkres b'choroso b'nasid adashim. Don't sell your birthright for a pot of soup, like Esav did. Lo yavid beyadayim es hazachiyah gdol kol kach shenis lebasar v'dam liyos b'chinas banim atam Hashem kechem. Don't give up that tremendous gift, that zechus that Hashem gave all of us, to be banim Hashem, banim atam Hashem kechem, to be Hashem's child. Kol chataim hanovim eitzel adam mitoch bilbil v'katnas adas. And these all sins that we do only comes from bilbil, from confusion, and katnas adas, that we're not, our minds are not where they're supposed to be. The Gemara in Sota says, "Ein adam over avera elim ke nichnas abor ruch shtus." A person doesn't sin unless they go mad, unless they go insane. Shum mevulbo ve'enu makir be'erachu shel ish Yehudi. What does that mean? He forgot who he was. He forgot that he was a ben melech. He forgot he was a princess. He forgot he was a very chasher person, and that's why you went and did that thing you weren't supposed to do. He goes on to develop this idea a little bit more, but that's the idea over here. You know, in the world of Musar, there are different branches of schools of Musar. There's Slabodka, and there's Kelm, and there's Navardik. The Navardik was made famous for the very extreme things they did. And this, what we're saying tonight, is not in line with the Shita of Navardik. Navardik did very extreme things. They would have the Bachram in Navardik. They would go into the hardware store and ask, you know, where the bananas were. Why? Because they wanted to teach him to not be embarrassed, to do anything in public, to not have a sense of embarrassment, and to teach him that there's only Yiras Hashem and not be fearful of other people. Or tell him to go into the grocery store and ask where the hammers are. Right? They would have them do these things. They had something in Nevada called a bors. A bors was a trading floor. And the Bachram would go in chavrusas and they would walk in circles together and they would tear into each other and rip into one another about, well, you're doing this wrong, and you only do this for your sense of kavod, and you don't do it for the right reasons. It was very intense, and it was not for most people. That was one school of thought. And certainly this shir tonight is not in line with the Shita of Navardik. But the more popular and the more famous Shita was Slabodka, the altar of Slabodka, which is defined as Gadlus Adam, that the reason a person should learn Musar and grow and develop themselves is because you're a Tzel Melokim. You're a ben adam. You're a human being. You have so much to offer. You dress a certain way. You talk a certain way. You act a certain way as a prince and a princess. And this is a major, major yesod. Anyone who's been reading or should be reading Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tursky's books on all types of things, the main yesod from Rabbi Dr. Tursky was self-esteem. That most of the psychological issues in our generation, unless there's an actual chemical imbalance and depression, but most of the issues in our generation could be solved if we had a better sense of self-esteem. I highly, highly recommend that everyone should be reading in some form some of Rabbi Dr. Tversky's books. You should get your hands on, he wrote like 80 books, so there's got to be one out there that you'll click to. You know, either he writes about shalom bias, or he writes about dating, or he writes about, you know, parnasa, he writes about losing weight, he writes about self-esteem in general, he writes stuff on the parsha, on the sitter. You should be picking up his books to learn how to develop a healthy sense of self-esteem, and to learn not to how to be mevazo oneself, and the damages that come with being mevazo oneself. I have to have two stories that I like very much that touch upon this issue. One is a story that's told about Rav Gadol Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner was the mashkiach in Yeshiva Sfas Emes in Yerushalayim after the Holocaust. And one day he was sitting outside the yeshiva talking with one of the bachrim, and another bachur came up to him, but it wasn't a bachur. It was a guy he knew, a young man he knew from pre-war in Europe, before the Holocaust, and he was totally secular, peyos, cut off, no yarmulke, dressed very chiloni. And they're catching up, and how you doing, what happened in the war, how did you escape, where did you get to, what happened with your parents, did they make it, just catching up. And Rugadal Eisner doesn't say a word. And as they're about to leave, and the young man is about to say goodbye to his older friend, he says, I just want to let you know, before you go, I met a non-Jewish woman, and I'm going to be marrying her in a few weeks. So Rugadal Eisner doesn't miss a beat. And he says, you know, because of the Holocaust and because of the war, you know, I haven't had a chance to look in Shulchan Aruch and learn a lot of halacha, and I don't remember what it says exactly in Shulchan Aruch about, marrying a non-Jew. But I do know that kein chassidische zach is das nicht. He says, for a chassidische bacher, it's not for you. It's, for a chassidische bacher like you, it doesn't seem like the right thing to do. And they gave him a hug and they went their separate ways. 2 weeks later, the young man came back to Rugadal Eisner and he said, I broke off the wedding. So he said, why? What happened? He said that for 10 years, from the beginning of the Holocaust till after the war, no one called me a Chassidish Bachar. No one looked at me and saw that I am a Chassidish Bachar who grew up in such a house, who has such a Masorah. And when you called me by that title, it touched me right in the heart. And you saw something inside of me that nobody else did. And I said, I got to turn things around. And from showing this young man that there was godliness and kedusha, that there was tzel melokim, that there was something holy and princely about him, Rugadal Eisner was able to turn his whole life around. How much more so for ourselves? To look at ourselves and say, a chashuv person, you have to act in a way that's going to be bekavadik and not to be mevazel oneself. The other story I heard from Rav Aaron Tausig. Rav Aaron Tausig is the mashkiach in the Alexandria Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he tells the story. He knows the parties involved. In London, there was a man who was involved in real estate and other types of investments, maybe in jewelry, things like that. And he carried a lot of money on him. And he left his place of work. He had briefcases with money. And one day, one evening, he was leaving his place of work in London, and three thugs cornered him. And they narrowed him into an alley where nobody else could see him. And he said, give us all your money. So the guy thought, this is it. He's done. He's not going to make it out alive. So he asked them, he said, I have nothing to lose. He said, what do you need the money for? So they said, we need the money for. We need it for drugs. We need it for alcohol. We need the money. So the businessman said, how much does it cost? So they were kind of surprised because no one ever really pushed them on this before. And he said, it costs X amount of dollars. And he said, how about this? It costs X, I'll give you 2X. I'll give you twice the amount of cash that you need to go buy drugs and alcohol. Take it, please leave me alone, and that's it. So the leader of the group said, okay, fine. He gave him a lot of cash, whatever he had in his wallet, and they went on their way. The next day, the guy goes to shul, benches gomel, made it out alive. That was a big miracle. And as he's about to open up his business and go inside, the leader of those three thugs shows up. He says, oh no, I'm done. He needs more money. This is it. This can't happen. So the guy said, no, don't be scared. He said, I just want to let you know that I've decided to go into rehab. I want to turn my life around. I want to stop what I'm doing. So he said, why? So he said, because last night when you asked us what do we need the money for and how much it is, you said, you look like a smart, capable young man. What do you need this money for? And he said, nobody ever said that to me, that I'm a smart, capable young man, that I'm capable of doing something. And when you said that to me, I was so struck by the fact that maybe I am and maybe I can do something with my life. And that's what we have to talk to other people, we have to talk to ourselves, and to see that we have potential inside. As it says in the Mishnah over here, Al tihei vaz l'chol adam. Don't be mevaz yourself in front of anybody. Have a sense of kavod, a sense of self-respect. If you ever, ever, ever are in a relationship or with another person, and they make you feel that you are a bizayon, that you don't have a sense of self, that you don't have a sense of elokim, run far away from that person. Far, far away. That is a terrible type of relationship to be in, whatever type of relationship it may be. Run far, far away from a person who is mevazi you, who makes you feel less, who makes you feel not like a human being. It's not a healthy relationship, and you have to stay far, far away. Just end with a vart from the Baal Shem Tov. It says by Avram Avinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, HaBeina HaShemayma V'Sapora Kochavim, go outside and look at the stars. And he tells him, Ko Yezarecha, so will be your children. So the Baal Shem Tov says that what's the idea of so will be your children by looking at the stars? Because when you look at the stars from far away, they're very, very small. And you don't see what's the big deal, little dots in the sky. But when you're up close with the star, you know that it's a giant. It is powerful. There is so much energy there. So says the Baal Shem Tov, this is what Hashem told Avram Avinu, look up at the stars. Your children are going to be just like that. The Jewish people, Ko Yezarecha. From far away, they'll look, I don't know, nothing so great. But if you look close inside yourself, and you look at who you are, and you understand that you have so much to offer, then you'll realize that you're a giant. You're huge. You have so much there to produce, so much there to offer. Ko Yezarecha, that will be your children. So, don't be mevaz yourself. Al tiyavaz l'chol adam. Don't lower yourself. Have a sense of self-respect. Okay? We'll stop here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.